chapter 10.
I have taught from
so
the
look
fourth
in 2 Chronicles
college,
chapter 36.
And one of my
we're talking about
the
despising the word of
multitudes
God.
Multitudes of years ago.
We're talking about despising God.
He was a mischievous little boy,
Christian
as he could be,
who despised
and,
God.
And Hal was always getting into something.
Notice, if you
and
would,
so
2 Chronicles
had to
chapter
take
36
homework
and verse 50.
Have it signed and turn it into the next
you need
day.
To make sure that you put
and,
this down in
I
your
I sat
mind,
down at my desk,
heart.
And first thing Hal did was raise his hand.
Verse 15, now the Lord
he
God
said,
of their
Pastor,
father sent to them
homework.
By his messengers,
and
that
I
is the
said,
preachers, the prophets,
I know how.
Rising up betimes and you know, sending...
He said,
because
no, sir,
he had compassion
he
on his
up,
people.
He said,
on his
my
little
place.
Brother gummed it all the way to school.
Do you know how you can tell
and sure
when
enough,
God
it was about
has
half gone,
compassion
it,
upon
I said,
people.
Just hand it in anyhow. That'll
the
be
answer
good,
is,
son.
He sends them
so
maybe little brother won't gum it up. That is for sure. Word
but
God.
It is a joy to be here.
That's
and
what verse 15
I appreciate
said.
The time I spent with your pastor
he sent his
and
messengers.
His family.
Why?
And
because he had compassion
to,
on his people.
To be with them and
you
see
know,
God's creation.
What did the
it
people
is indeed
do?
A
look
delight to see everything
but
that
they mocked the
years
messengers
ago,
of
Alice
God
can tell you when
and despised his
I would go
words
somewhere, all I would do is study
and misuse his
preach,
prophets
preach, study, preach.
Until the wrath of the Lord
time,
arose against his people until there was no remedy.
Many places where
therefore he brought upon them the king of the Chaldees who slew their young men with a sword in the house of their sanctuary and had no compassion upon young man or maiden or old man or him but stooped rage. He gave them all into his hand. Now go back if you would to verse 16. We already saw in verse 15 God sent his messengers. Watch. He sent messengers plural. Plural, watch, verse 16, but they mocked the messengers, plural, of God, and despised his, singular, God's word. Tonight I want you to open your Bible.
The messengers were proclaiming God's word,
and what they were despising was the word coming through God's preachers.
I want to preach, and I can't preach them all, that is for sure.
Some are old, some are new, but... I want to deal with some
God.
Things I hope
therefore,
that will be a blessing to you
he brought upon them
and
the king
would
Chaldees
indeed teach you.
Slew their young
so if you look in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 2,
had no compassion upon
the message I want to bring tonight is entitled Christians Who Despise God. Proverbs 14, and verse 2, the scripture says, He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. But he that is perverse in his ways despiseth
God
him.
And his word.
You know, it would probably be something of a shock if I told the average church one of the problems that you have in your church is you despise God. You ask the average professing Christian, do you despise God? And you're going to get a resounding negative. In fact, you might get more than a negative. You may even get looked at in a very hard and incredulous manner. Or you may even get hollered at or cussed
and look
out
at verse 16.
In a Christian manner, of course.
Here's what our Lord
but
said.
But most people
10,
will
verse 16.
Certainly profess to love him, and certainly they would never
our
ever
Lord said,
admit to despise
he that heareth
him.
You, talking about
however,
his
there's a vast difference
out.
Between what
he
you and I would call
you,
a profession and action. Each of us have
and
used the old
you.
Adage, I can't
despiseth
hear what
me.
You are saying for the way that you are acting.
Me.
Our Lord made despiseth that exceedingly clear in the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verse 16, when he said, you shall know them by their fruits. And then he asked, do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles?
You despise me.
And then he repeated the same truth in Matthew 7, verse 20, when he said, wherefore by their fruits you shall know them. So let me just put it like this. In the strictest sense of the word, it really does not matter what your profession is.
So I want you to listen to this application. It's how you
is
live.
Is it possible
counts.
For Christians to despise
because
the
your actions,
God, who has revealed himself in the Lord Jesus
and your
Christ,
conversation,
is it possible
will always reveal what you really,
the one
truly,
whom you profess
believe.
To love and
because
serve?
Everything
and the answer is absolutely.
The
yes.
And the Bible says in Proverbs 4 and verse 23, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life."
What does that
now,
mean?
If you look very closely at our text in Proverbs 14 and verse 2, he says it like this, He that walketh in his uprightness, feareth the Lord.
Actions,
he that walketh.
Our
now,
words,
stop and think about this. Conduct. Your walk is your life. It is your conduct. It is your action. It is how you live.
Sure
so the Bible says, He that is living and walking in his uprightness, that is the individual that fears the Lord. And then he says, but he that is perverse in his ways despises him. So obviously then, the man who walks in his uprightness, that is, when he's walking in that which is right and righteous, when he's doing that which is ethical and moral, according to God's law, that is a demonstration and reality of the fact that he actually fears God.
Are despising
he
God.
Obeys him and he submits to him.
Let me show you how serious it is.
But now the latter part of that verse says this, but he that is perverse in his ways despiseth him. Now a man's ways, once again, happens to be his conduct. It's his walk. It's how he lives. So God says that the man that lives dubiously, a man that lives disobediently, the man who is crooked and froward and perverse, he is evidencing the fact that he does not fear God. He has no regard for God. He has no regard for the Word of God, and therefore God says he despises him.
Of course, God gave the law to
Moses. Now, the interesting thing is when you look at verse 2,
and the law
he says, he that walketh in his
uprightness
feareth the Lord, but he that is perverse in his ways
something worthy of death, and
despiseth
there
him. The word despiseth there actually means to hold in contempt.
There was no appeals court.
To disdain, to scorn, to
so
treat as contemptible. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Now watch the argument. Now
verse 29,
think about how much
sorer
or worse punishment.
He that walketh in his
suppose you shall he be thought
that
worthy,
is the man that fears
who trodden underfoot
the
Son
of
God,
that is he
and
that
hath counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he was sanctified,
he that is wicked and
as
wrong,
an unholy
that
thing,
is the man
and done
that
scorns
God,
the Spirit
of grace.
Holds God in contempt, and counts him
as
despising God
and worthless.
Is counted as
now,
trotting under our feet.
If I were to tell you tonight that some of you despise
we
God, you'd probably get very upset with me and very shocked that I would even say
step
such
on
thing.
Him
and
despise
and yet,
him
understand
just like we
that
would
the
a
world
dirty, filthy rug that
despises
God.
Worthless.
In fact, let me show you. I want you to hold, if you
and
would,
God
Proverbs
says,
chapter 14
if you
and verse
died
2. But look in your Bible
in the Old Testament under Moses
to the book of Isaiah
two,
chapter 49.
Without mercy.
Isaiah 49.
How much worse is it today to despise
Isaiah 49, verse 7. Look what God says concerning his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ.
Who is God in God?
Isaiah 49 and verse 7. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, and the word abhorreth is a strong word for hate, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship because of the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel. He shall choose thee. But notice, if you would, how the Bible says that men despise the Lord Jesus Christ. And nations abhor him. They hate him. That is, they scorn him as absolutely worthless and vile and contemptible. They have no use for him. They have no regard for him. Everyone in this room is familiar with Isaiah 53 and verse 3. When the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Now, I want you to stop and think about this.
Now
the Bible says concerning Jesus Christ, he is despised and we esteemed him not. You know what the word esteemed means? He is despised and we did not even think it worth thinking about. We esteemed him. In other words, it didn't bother us. It was not on our plate. We had other things to do.
God. Holds us.
And that's basically the way it is today. Men despise Jesus Christ.
And submit to him.
And we don't think anything about
and
it.
Honor him. And
he is despised, and we esteem him not.
Everyone
so
in this room
it's obvious that the world does indeed despise Jesus Christ. The unbelievers despise Jesus Christ. Nations despise Jesus Christ.
More submissive.
But is it possible
and more conformed to the image of Jesus
for a real,
Christ.
Genuine child
only
of God?
God can make us so.
To hold the Lord Jesus Christ and his Heavenly Father in such contempt
every day.
And treat him with scorn and derision and disdain.
Subject.
Is it possible for a real, genuine child of God to treat God as vile and contemptible and worthless?
Right
and,
holy. And
the answer to those questions is an unqualified
I do not want to try
yes.
Underfoot the Lord Jesus Christ.
And
I
the fact is, most Christians do it regularly.
To the Spirit of God. I do not
some even on a daily basis and some many
an unholy thing.
Times a day.
No.
Our Lord makes it very clear in the Bible that we're either going to love him or hate him. We're
Father,
either going to serve
Jesus
him
Christ,
or deny him.
This night. We thank
in Matthew 6
word.
And verse 24 he said it like this.
Truth.
No man
Lord,
can serve two masters. For
God,
he
will
either
holy,
hate the one and love the other or else he will what? cling to the one and despise the other, you cannot serve God and mammon.
Give us, Lord, a heart.
So our Lord says, you're either going to love me or you're going to hate me. You're either going to cling to me or you're going to despise me. It's just that simple.
Honorable sons and daughters.
Now, I'm talking about something tonight that most of you have probably never even considered in your mind. And you're going to sit there and you're going to say, well, Brother Weaver, you know, I know what you're saying, but I just don't think it's possible for a real, genuine Christian to despise God. Well, perhaps it would help if I showed you an example in the Bible of a real, genuine Christian who despised God. In fact, before I show you that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13, and I want you to look at verse 22, because here we're going to read about David. David, of course, is known as a man after God's own heart. And the Bible says very distinctly and very clearly in Acts chapter 13 and verse 22, in reference to David, what God thought of David. The Bible says in verse 22 of Acts chapter 13, and when he, God, had removed him, that is Saul, he, God, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now notice, if you would please, God specifically said that David was a man after his own heart. So let me just put it to you like this. If it is possible for David, who is known for his love and obedience to God, who is known as a man after God's own heart, if it's possible for David, who loved God, to despise him, how much easier is it for you and I, who do not love him the way David did, to despise him as well? So you say, where did David despise God? Well, look in your Bibles, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 11, please. 2 Samuel chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. And notice, if you would please, I'm sure that you know the story. David, in this particular passage, had committed adultery with Bathsheba. He had her husband Uriah the Hittite murdered with the sword of the children of Ammon. And then he tried to hide it. Notice, if you would, in 2 Samuel chapter 11, at verses 26 and 27, the Bible says this, and when the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife and bare him a son. But notice, if you would, but the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. So I want you to just kind of understand the word displeased. God was not at all pleased with what David had done. God was extremely displeased and upset. Now, you know the story, how God sent Nathan to David. And he gives him this story in verse chapter 12, beginning there verse 1. And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in the one city, the one rich and the other poor. And he goes down and he tells David about this rich man who took the poor man's little lamb that had been raised in his own bosom and was unto him as a daughter, and how he spared to take of his own flock, and how he killed this one little ewe lamb and gave to this traveler who came along. Well, after David said, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die and shall restore fourfold, it was Nathan who said, thou art the man. Look in verse 7. Watch carefully. 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 7. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee such and such things. Now watch carefully. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart out from thine house, because thou hast despised me, and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house, and I will take thy wives before thine eyes, and give them unto thy neighbor, and he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of the sun. For thou didst this thing secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the sun. Now, I want you to note, if you would, please, what God said in verse 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of God? What did David do? He despised God's commandments. Now, I want you to think about this. The seventh commandment is, thou shalt not commit adultery. The eighth commandment is, thou shalt not steal. The tenth commandment is, thou shalt not covet. Now, we know that David coveted. We know that David stole. He stole Uriah's wife. We know that he committed adultery. He also committed murder. The sixth commandment is, thou shalt not kill. I want you to note something. Do you realize before you can ever violate any commandment, especially commandments 5 through 10, before you can ever do that, you have to violate the first commandment, thou shalt have no other gods before me. And I want you to note what David did. David despised God's commandments. He despised the law of God. By the way, that's the problem today in our land. People despise God and they despise His law. That's why they're not ashamed or afraid to sin openly and violently against God. Now, I want you to note something. Not only has God said in verse 9, wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in His sight? In other words, it didn't bother David right then that he was doing that which was wicked and wrong. Note, if you would, please, verse 10. He says, now therefore the sword shall never depart out of thine house, because thou hast despised me. Now, wait a minute. I thought David had despised God's commandment. He did. But now God is saying, you've despised me, because God and His law cannot be separated. They are one. And when you despise God's commandments, when you despise God's law, you're despising God. You're despising the God who gave that law. You're saying, I have no regard for the commandment. I have no regard for the God who gave that commandment. You're treating the commandment as vile and worthless and contemptible. You're holding it in scorn. And likewise, you're holding God in scorn and treating Him as vile and contemptible and saying, in essence, if you knew anything at all, you wouldn't have even given this commandment. Wow. You talk about lifting yourself up above God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You've just elevated yourself above God. You know what the Bible says in Psalm 138 in verse 2? David said, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness and thy truth, for thou hast magnified thy word above thy name. If God's word ever fails, then God is not God. And so you cannot maintain one attitude toward the word of God and a different attitude toward God Himself. God and His law are one. Let me show you. Now, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of John chapter 12 and look at verse 48. John 12 verse 48. And look, if you would please, what our Lord Jesus Christ says. He puts all of these things together for us. So please understand, you can't say, well, I love the Bible, but I don't love Jesus Christ. Or I love Jesus Christ, but I just don't care about reading my Bible or studying my Bible. No, you can't say that. Well, you can say it, but it's not accurate, because look, John 12, verse 48, here's what our Lord said. He that rejecteth me, that is the living word, and receiveth not my words, that's the written words, hath one that judgeth him, the word that I've spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. So notice, if you would, just like God and His law are one, Jesus Christ and His word, or Jesus Christ and His law, are one as well. So when a Christian then refuses to obey God, he is guilty of despising God's law, and then he's also equally guilty of despising the God who gave the law. Now let me show you something that ought to really sink into your hearts. If I were to call you Esau, you would be very upset. And you should be. Esau was a profane man. He was a fornicator. I want you to look at that passage. I want you to look in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12. And by the way, also find in your Bibles 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, we'll go there after we go to Hebrews chapter 12. I want to show you something. In Hebrews chapter 12, beginning there with verse 16, then we'll go to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I want you to watch this. Hebrews chapter 12. Notice, if you would, please, let's begin with verse 15. God says, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. I have two messages on the sin of bitterness. And the sin of bitterness always affects multitudes of people. He says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you. And then he says, thereby many be defiled. And then he says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterwards, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it, that is the blessing, carefully with tears. Now, it's interesting that God called Esau a fornicator and a profane person. You know, I did a study several years back, and I went through the Bible and I dealt with fornication. It's interesting that when you find and when you study the word fornication in the Bible, most of the time, I would say 99 times out of 100, the word fornication deals with spiritual idolatry, not just the physical act. When we think of a fornicator, we think of the physical act. God is calling Esau here a fornicator, and not necessarily because he committed an act of fornication, but because he committed spiritual fornication. Now, what in the world am I talking about, spiritual fornication? Well, let me show you something. Go back in your Bibles, whole Hebrews 12, we're coming back there. Go back in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And let's begin reading there verse 13. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 13. God says, meats for the belly and the belly for meats, but God shall destroy both it and them. Now, the body is not for fornication, but for the Lord. And the Lord for the body. So God made our bodies for himself. He did not make our bodies for fornication. Watch. Verse 14, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by his own power. Now he says this in verse 15. Know you not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. Now wait a minute. He's using a physical illustration to give you a spiritual truth. He said, shall I then take the members of Christ, if you're saved, you're a member of the body of Christ, shall I take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? God forbid. What? Know you not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two, saith he, shall be one flesh, but he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body. And then he goes on to say, what know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, you're not your own, for you're bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are God's. Now, interestingly enough, he talks about the spiritual aspect of a physical act. So when a Christian then, quote unquote, commits physical fornication, if he's a real genuine Christian, since Christ is our head and we are his body, we're actually guilty of joining Jesus Christ to that harlot or joining Jesus Christ into that sin. In fact, in the Bible, God complained of Israel and he said, thou hast made me to serve with thy sins. So what in the world is fornication? Listen to me. Fornication is an unlawful use of the body. When you go back to Hebrews chapter 12, God calls Esau a fornicator. Esau was the eldest son. And the Bible says that he despised his inheritance. He sold that inheritance for a morsel of bread or meat or pottage. What was the inheritance? As the eldest son, he was to have a double portion of the inheritance. Why? Because as the eldest son, he was to take care of his aging parents. That would be his responsibility, his duty, his obligation, and I might add, his privilege. He would also become head of the clan. He'd be the patriarch, so to speak. And it was also through this individual that the seed, the Messiah, was to come. That was also part of that inheritance. And the Bible said he despised that inheritance. He despised his obligations, duties, responsibilities, and his privileges. And what he was going to do was use his body now for a mess of pottage. Do you realize we are fornicators against God anytime we use our bodies in an unlawful manner? And it doesn't have to do with sex necessarily. God also called him profane. You know what a profane person is? By the way, I have a message entitled Preaching Profanity. And I demonstrate from the Bible that most preachers actually preach profanity. Listen, profanity is more than taking God's name in vain. Profanity is far more than just using slang words. We get our English word profane from the Latin profanum. Phanum means temple. Pro means before and in, or in front of. So actually, a profane person is someone who is outside of the temple or outside of the law of God, is what it amounts to. Or outside of the recognizing God and obeying God and submitting to God. That's a profane individual. So God then is calling Esau not only a fornicator, but a profane person. So when we, like Esau then, refuse to obey God and fulfill our duties and obligations and responsibilities, we're fornicators and we're profane because we're treating God like you don't have any control over us. You don't have any say-so in our lives. I can live my life the way I please. I can do what I want to do. It doesn't matter what you say. That's fornication. That's being profane. Do you realize Israel was to be a peculiar people, and yet they constantly and consistently despised God and His law? I want to show you. I want you to turn in your Bibles, if you would, to the book of Leviticus, chapter 26. I want you to follow me. I want to show you a number of passages where God actually charges Israel with despising God. Notice, if you would, Leviticus chapter 26. Beginning there with verse 13. Look what God tells him. Leviticus 26, verse 13. He says, I am the Lord your God which brought you forth out of the land of Egypt, that you should not be bondmen, and I have broken the bands of your yoke and made you to go upright. But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you despise my statutes, and if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I will do even this unto you. So God says, when you disobey me, you are despising my commandments. Has it ever dawned upon you that when you despise the Word of God, you're despising God. Before I finish tonight, I'm going to show you another truth. Has it ever dawned upon you when you refuse to hear and heed and obey the Word of God, you're despising God? I told you that one of the problems we have in our land today is Christians despise God. They take the attitude of those wicked people in Luke 19 when they say concerning Jesus Christ, "We will not have this man to reign over us." I want you to look in your Bibles, if you would, Leviticus chapter 26 and verse 43. He says it again, Leviticus 26, verse 43. He says, "The land also shall be left of them, and shall enjoy her Sabbaths while she lieth desolate without them. And they shall accept of the punishment of their iniquity." Why? "Because, even because they despised my judgments, and because their soul abhorred or hated my statutes." You're talking about people who hate God? People who despise God? Look in your Bibles to the book of Numbers chapter 11. Numbers chapter 11. Numbers 11. Notice if you would verse 20. Of course, this is where they were crying for meat. They got tired of all the manna. So God says, here's what I'm going to do. In fact, let's begin with verse 18. And he said, "And say thou unto the people, sanctify yourselves against tomorrow, and you shall eat flesh. For have you wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, Who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month, until it come out at your nostrils, and it be loathsome unto you, because that you have," note, "despised the Lord who is among you, and have wept before him, saying, Why came we forth out of Egypt?" I don't want to just take a lot of time on this, but please listen to me. When we murmur and complain and bellyache and gripe about the providence of God in our lives, and we don't like it, and we're chafing at the bit, that is a despising of God. That's exactly what these people did. Why did we ever leave Egypt? We had it made in Egypt. We had fish and leeks and onions and garlic. Why did we leave Egypt? And most of us never stop and think about whining against God's providence. You know, I'm reading through the book of Job now again, and I am so astonished at the piety of Job. Can you imagine Job being one of the richest men in the East, and in one day, all of his camels are stolen, his asses are stolen, his sheep are stolen, his servants are killed, and then he lost 10 children. 10 in one day. And the scripture says, in all this, Job sinned not with his lips, nor charged God foolishly. And any little thing that happens to us we don't like, we bellyache and complain against God and accuse him of not loving us. Look in your Bibles, Numbers chapter 14, verse 31. Numbers 14, verse 31. Of course, they despised Canaan land. They refused to go in it. And God says, "But your little ones, which you said should be a prey, them will I bring in, and they shall know the land which you have despised." Despising God's gifts is despising God as well. Look, if you would, please. In verse chapter 15, beginning of verse 29. Numbers 15, verse 29. Here it is again. Numbers 15, verse 29. God says, "You shall have one law for him that sinneth through ignorance, both for him that is born among the children of Israel and for the stranger that sojourneth among them. But the soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproacheth the Lord, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people, because he hath despised the word of the Lord and hath broken his commandment. That soul shall utterly be cut off. His iniquity shall be upon him." Did you see that? "Because he hath despised the word of the Lord." You can despise God's word. And when you do, you despise the God who gave the word. If you'll look in your Bibles to the book of Isaiah, chapter 5. Isaiah, chapter 5. It's amazing how many times God says this over and over in the Bible. Look in Isaiah chapter 5, and let's begin reading with verse 20. Watch if you would. Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20. God says, "Woe to them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Woe to them that are mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink, which justify the wicked for reward and take away the righteousness of the righteous from him." Now watch. "Therefore, as the fire devoureth the stubble and the flame consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness and their blossom shall go up as dust, because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One of Israel. Therefore is the anger of the Lord kindled against his people, and he hath stretched forth his hand against them and hath smitten them, and the hills did tremble, and their carcasses were torn in the midst of their streets. For all this his anger is not turned away, but his hand is stretched out still." Note verse 24 again. "Therefore as the fire devoureth the stubble and flameth, consumeth the chaff, so their root shall be as rottenness, and their blossom shall go up as dust." Why? "Because they have cast away the law of the Lord of hosts and despised the word of the Holy One." Now here's what a lot of people are going to say. Brother Weaver, all that's in the Old Testament. And you know what I always say? We have one Bible, not two. And we have one God, not two gods. And the God of the Old Testament is the God of the New Testament. Do you realize that God oftentimes teaches us by examples? In fact, I have a series of messages on how are you being taught. God's going to teach us one way or the other. But I want you to look in your Bibles to Romans 15 and then to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. Look in Romans chapter 15. So you're going to say, "But that happened to Israel in the Old Testament. That has nothing to do with me." Really? Well, look in Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. And then we're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Notice Romans 15 verse 4. The Bible says, "For whatsoever things were written aforetime," that's the Old Testament, "were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope." Isn't that amazing? God said everything that was written aforetime was written for our learning. So God says you better learn from what happened in the Old Testament. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Just to show you, beginning there with verse 1, 1 Corinthians 10 verse 1, the Apostle Paul writes, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant." I wouldn't want to be ignorant either, I can assure you. And I don't want God's people ignorant. So he says, "Moreover, brethren, I would not that you should be ignorant, how that all of our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea, and were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them. That rock was Christ." Now we're talking about Israel in the Old Testament, are we not? We're talking about the Exodus. We're talking about the wilderness wanderings. Watch verse 5. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness." I cannot help but smile every time I read this verse. "But with many of them, God was not well pleased." Many of them? You know how many of the original 603,550 men that came out of Egypt. You know how many of them got into Canaan land? Two. Joshua and Caleb. The rest of them died in the wilderness. But God says, many of them, they were not. God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now watch verse 6. Now these things were our examples. Isn't that amazing? Paul is making an application of what happened in the Old Testament to the Corinthian church. He said, but these things were our examples to the intent that we should not lust after evil things as they lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them, as it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day 23,000. You can read all these things in the Old Testament where God killed them. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and were destroyed of serpents. Neither murmur you, as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen to them for ensamples or examples, and they're written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. What is Paul saying? You better learn from people who despise God. You better hear what God is saying. Do you realize that there are warnings scattered throughout Scripture concerning despising God and His Word? Let me just show you a couple of them. Look in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1. I'm not going to deal with many of these, but there are a number of them. But look in Proverbs chapter 1. Here are some very prominent ones. Proverbs chapter 1. And notice, if you would, what the Word of God says. Proverbs chapter 1. And let's begin reading there with verse 22. How long, you simple ones, will you love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge. Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Now look what God says. Because I have called, and you refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. You have set at naught all my counsel, that is, you despised it, and would have none of my reproof. Here's what God says. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. Why? For that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They would none of my counsel and despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Let me tell you something, folks. You despise God's word, you despise God. You despise God's way and God's will, and God in absolute justice will let you have your will and your way. And it will be destruction. Look in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 13 and verse 13. Proverbs 13, verse 13. Look what God says. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Wow. That's almost Proverbs 14, verse 2 again. Whoso despiseth the word shall be destroyed, but he that feareth the commandment shall be rewarded. Look in Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 6. Proverbs 19 and verse 6. 16 it is. Proverbs 19 verse 16. God says, he that keepeth the commandment keepeth his own soul. But he that despiseth his ways, that is God's ways, shall die. You keep your command, God's commandments, you keep your own soul. You despise God's ways, and you die. Now there's a general principle that God lays down in 1 Samuel 2 and verse 30. You know what God says? God says, them that honor me will I honor, saith the Lord. And those that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. If you want God to hear your prayer, if you want God to honor the work of your hands, if you want God to honor your family, you need to learn to honor Him. You need to learn to obey His word and submit to His law. Let me ask you a question. Now I want you to stop and think about this. Is it any wonder that oftentimes, most of the time, our prayers are unanswered? When you stop and think how we despise God and dishonor Him, who wants to bless a disobedient child? Who wants to honor a dishonorable child? One of my favorite stories concerns my two oldest grandchildren. They were 2 years old. They're now 28. But when they were 2 years old, each one of them wanted a pair of cow boots. They couldn't even say cowboy boots. They called them cow boots. And the truth of the matter is this, I had 20 bucks to my name. That was it. And we needed to buy some groceries. And so Alice and I took those two grandbabies to the store just to let them try on some cowboy boots. And we were going to come back later and buy them for them. So we put them on them, and they walked around in those cowboy boots looking and smiling. So we got ready to go. We took the cowboy boots off. We put them back in the boxes. We put them back up. We kind of marked them because we were going to come back and get them. And I picked up the little boy, had him in my arms. She picked up the little girl, had her in her arms. And just as we started walking away, Casey, my oldest grandson, looked with that look in his eyes and did this, "Bye-bye, cow boots." And I looked at Alice and said, "Get them, we'll go hungry." Now, let me tell you something. If that kid had jumped on the floor and pitched a fit and started slamming the floor up and down and hollering, "I want them, I want them, I want them," I'll guarantee you he'd have never got them from me. No one wants to honor a dishonorable child. No one wants to bless a disobedient child. The same thing is true with our Heavenly Father. Do you know what He asked in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 6? And He was talking to the priest. He said this, "A son honoreth his father, and a servant his master. If I then be a father, where is my honor? If I be a master, where is my fear? Saith the Lord of hosts unto you, O priest, who despise my name." Here's what God's saying. I'm not going to honor you if you despise me. He that despises me shall be lightly esteemed. Now I want you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I want you to watch this. Because you see, I've already shown you from the Scripture what David did and how David despised God. You say, "Well, I don't think we can do that in the New Testament." Of course you can. I want you to look at it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. I have a series of 8 messages on this passage entitled Sanctification and Sexual Purity, but I want you to look at it just generally. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 1. Paul says, "Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk." Remember, "He that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. How you ought to walk and to please God, so you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus." Now watch carefully. "For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication." Well, that deals with the 7th commandment. That deals with the 8th commandment. That deals with the 10th commandment and also the 1st commandment as well. So he says that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel, that is his body, in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of concupiscence, even as the Gentiles or the pagans who know not God, that no man go be